40%. I mean, if anyone reads a book about Bitcoin and monetary history and just the news in general, they would quickly be up to at least double, if not more, in my opinion.
Well, know what they're doing, maybe, but have the resources and access to the tools necessary to actually execute and protect your information.
Yeah, we're going to be at 40 trillion and 50 trillion and the game's going to be over. You know, the dollar is not going to be what people rely on.
Well, here's a news flash. Bitcoin wasn't created to follow these shitty rules. It was created to impose a new set of rules that no living soul can manipulate and corrupt. So you don't need anybody's blessing or permission. Not the US government, not any government.
Hey everyone, welcome to another episode of Bitcoin Banter. We've got Greer back, and as always, Tony's with me. Guys, we've got lots of big news to get to. So, Rick Edelman, famed financial advisor. A few years ago, he was known for saying, I think you should allocate like 1% to 2% or something like that to Bitcoin, crypto. Now he's saying 10% to 40%. So he clearly sees what's happening in the world, understands many of the concerns. We could go into details of the article, but I think you probably get the point from the headline. Greer, I'll let you take this one first, man. What do you think this means for the average person who, a lot of people pay attention to a guy like Rick Edelman?
Yeah, I mean, I think 40 is fine. 100 is better. But what I thought was most interesting is that, you know, he's saying, I thought governments would ban it. If you know anything about Bitcoin, you know that a government cannot ban it. And what we're seeing are popular financial investors come out and say, the reason they didn't recommend it earlier is because now we have a crypto Bitcoin-friendly administration. But that's not the signal. If you know about Bitcoin, you know that it can't be stopped. So I think we should pay attention to the fact that they're hiding behind the truth. And the truth is that there was no reason to not invest in it. And now, instead of being shamed publicly, in my opinion, they're putting up this sort of facade about banning it in order to not look like complete morons. So I think it's great that, you know, Bitcoin is going mainstream. It was definitely going to at some point. And I think 40% is probably too low. I think 100 is correct. And, you know, if once you make that allocation and learn about it, it's a wild ride.
Yeah, no, I like your allocation recommendation. Not financial advice, by the way. I think for people who are trying to figure this out, because most of the people he's speaking to haven't done the work that we've done to study, to understand, to research. And so to me, I mean, 40% for someone who's aggressive is very bullish that a financial advisor who people are paying attention to would say that. I'm going to really quickly, I had an interesting podcast recording with Mark Moss yesterday, and he drew the distinction, and it's a distinction many people have made, but between savings in Bitcoin and then investing. And that's where he talked about like the Bitcoin treasury companies, all these things that we've ragged on for a while. He made some really interesting points though. The same way like Tony has invested in building the Bitcoin way, right? There's risk associated with starting a business. You could lose the capital, the time that you've invested up front. Having an allocation to other things that it's not because you're trying to get, you've already made the determination, I'm going to save in Bitcoin, but the same way you might invest in a business, you could invest in other things to grow your wealth. Bitcoin will also do that for you because we're so early. But I think that as more people begin to sort of understand these concepts and recognize what Bitcoin is and why it should fit into not your portfolio, but into your saving strategy, I think the sky is the limit on this. Tony, what's your take here? You love mainstream.
Well, my take is like we like you said, we don't give financial advice, and we definitely don't recommend any financial advisors. these guys are panicking, and you know, in my opinion, they're also very cowards and hypocrites that to come out now all of a sudden using that. Well, now we have a regulatory framework. You didn't need one, you dummy, to begin with. You just needed to read a few books and understand a few things, and you would have come to that assessment on your own. But no, you know, your spine is somewhere in another galaxy, and now all of a sudden you're somehow the hero in advising your clients that they should have a 10 to 40% allocation, because you clearly see that the world is falling apart. And if you don't say that, well, they're going to come after you for being like the worst human being ever. 40%, I mean, if anyone reads a book about Bitcoin and monetary history and just the news in general, they would quickly be up to at least double, if not more, in my opinion. Them coming out to say this now reminds me of that bomb diffuser, you know, with a sticker on his t-shirt. If you see me run, keep up. That's what this message reminds me of. They're all panicking. And, you know, they want to tell as many people as possible, like sort of like to be the heroes now that, you know, they saved their customers. These are no heroes, man. These are just, you know, again, hypocrites. I mean, it's good that they're doing it, but do they get a golden star? Not in my book.
I hear you. The one place I would sympathize is that these people, prior to a regulatory framework, these people work in a very regulated environment. And for them to go say, I understand Bitcoin, you should, you know, go allocate 100% to Bitcoin. I mean, you can lose your license immediately. And so like then you're out of a job. I think what would be a more prudent thing for people who, and this is not many financial advisors, they should have taken the time, done the research and told their clients, I'm not legal. Like I can't legally tell you to allocate 100% to Bitcoin, but I can give you this book and I can encourage you to go do the research. And no one was doing that. So yes, I agree. Very, very late to the party. To me, that was a violation of their fiduciary duty to operate in the best interest of their clients. Okay, guys, up next, we've got the big, beautiful bill, I think it was, that passed. So total U.S. debt is now expected to hit $40 trillion this year per Kalshi. So we're at about $37 trillion. I mean, we're halfway through the year and they're projecting $3 trillion more added to the U.S. debt. These are crazy numbers we are talking about. Anyone who is paying attention to this is going to now understand why Rick Edelman is saying, hey, maybe you need to consider an allocation to Bitcoin well beyond what I'd previously recommended, anyone had previously thought. Tony, nothing stops this train. We're still talking about it.
Do you really think 40% is realistic? I think that's a very conservative number. I think we're going way past 40 trillion. I mean, do you fathom how many zeros that is? I don't think many people realize how much printed paper that represents and what that's actually going to do to your purchasing power. It is completely going to obliterate it, you know, from like the inside out. So if you're going to a supermarket today and complaining, like brace yourself, you're going to be crying very soon because sky's the limit now. That imaginary debt ceiling, well, now it's gone because, you know, it's an annoying formality. So why bother with it? So now print away. Very bad news, man. Very, very bad news. And for anyone not paying attention to hard assets like Bitcoin in full self-custody, brace yourself, man. This is not a good position to find yourself in. And I strongly recommend anyone still lingering at zero, wondering maybe somehow they dodged this bullet, to do their research, because I doubt anyone's going to be dodging anything anytime soon.
Yeah. And Tony, you raised an important point. Most people do not understand how many zeros and what the implications of that are. And I think that's why Bitcoin still, just the concept of Bitcoin confounds many. Greer, what do you think, man? I feel like we're always talking about the debt's just going to keep going up. It's a continuing evergreen story.
I think if you don't do anything, you're just going to be along for the ride. The houses are going to get more expensive. Food's going to get more expensive. The things that you purchase are going to become more out of reach. And to me, that's the hardest part about this. This is going to crush people who are living, you know, paycheck to paycheck, day to day. And I, you know, it, of course, Bitcoin is the only way to stop playing the game. Once you have some Bitcoin, you know that you've taken some wealth off the table that won't be watered down, that won't be part of this. But I mean, you play Monopoly for long enough as a kid, you know, and someone introduces, you know, two or three new sets of dollar bills at the bank. It doesn't matter anymore. The game's not fun. If everybody is, you know, playing with millions of paper money, it loses the whole point. So I think it just stresses to me like how important the fixed supply of Bitcoin is. It's so powerful. You know, there's only 21 million. There are only 2 million or so available on exchanges. You still have a chance to secure whatever wealth you can to preserve for the future. And to me, this is just, you know, the gun going off. Like, we're getting into the end stages. We know that other countries aren't buying our debt. You know, Scott Bessent, the Treasury Secretary, said that we can combat this with growth. But I don't see the growth happening as quickly as they want it to. We need massive growth, and I, you know, maybe that will happen. Hopefully it can counterbalance it, But I think, yeah, we're going to be at 40 trillion and 50 trillion and the game's going to be over. You know, the dollar is not going to be what people rely on. And I think we'll see the smart money shift very quickly into hard assets.
Yeah, I think the important point here is to juxtapose the two observations you made. You've got the 21 million hard cap that no one understands what absolute scarcity is because there's always more gold, there's always more oil, there's always more of whatever, with Tony's observation that no one understands what 40 trillion really means in practice. And when you, if you can marry those two concepts together, it becomes very evident what you ought to be doing. I think, again, a lot of waking up to do, and that's why we're talking on Bitcoin Banter. All righty, we've got Neil Jacobs after the BBB passed. He said, no Bitcoin-related amendments in the bill. All talk, nothing actually got done. I think a lot of people were hoping for some sort of a removal of capital gains taxes on Bitcoin. Senator Lummis is now talking about for purchases under $300, which is like, gee, thanks, you know. I don't find her to be quite the champion many people do, but that's just a personal observation. I'd be curious, Greer, what do you, did you have any expectation as to what might happen here, or is this kind of, yeah, you know, go figure.
Yeah. I mean, I'm ashamed to admit that I did have hope for some kind of cap gains removal. I think that could still happen sometime in the future, but this bill was so contentious. So political between both parties, you know, all they want to do is spend money, that it would be unrealistic to think that the things that Bitcoiners want would be included. I think about Trump's promise to release Ross on day one. It didn't happen. It happened a couple weeks later. So I don't think that politicians 99% of the time are going to do what they should. But I want to keep that 1% of optimism, because I think we will see Bitcoin become recognized as money. And once it's money, it cannot be taxed. It should not be taxed. So there could be another exercise where, you know, we see both parties fight out. If you've held it for a year, or if you've held it for 5 years or whatever, they might, you know, reduce the amount that you're taxed. So I'm hopeful that something will happen, but I'm also not surprised that, you know, anything that we thought would be included made it. This thing just had way too much scrutiny. And the fact that they even were able to do it is surprising. You know, it looked like a train wreck from people like Thomas Massie, who were very much against it. And, you know, I don't know. We're going to see Trump do a victory dance today, probably. But I think, goodness, nothing in Washington goes the way that you want it to as just a regular person.
Yeah, and I agree. Tony, what do you think? Are you you excited about, you probably just don't care. That's my guess.
It's not that I don't care. I'm not surprised. I mean, how in the world did you expect any government to willingly embrace Bitcoin? You know, the asset that was created to bankrupt them and replace them and render them obsolete. Like, how in the world did you expect any politician to embrace it? It's never going to happen. It's like wishing for Santa Claus to be real. You know, it's like, you know, yeah, okay, you can keep the hope up, but you're just lying to yourself. And the fact that so many people were excited about this, I think it just comes from a place of fear. You know, like, you just want the rules to be okay because you're so afraid to break them that you don't want to get into trouble. Well, here's a newsflash. Bitcoin wasn't created to follow these shitty rules. It was created to impose a new set of rules that no living soul can manipulate and corrupt. So you don't need anybody's blessing or permission. Not the US government, not any government. Bitcoin was created for you, the people, 8 billion people, to use and live on your own terms, to regain your own dignity. That's what it was for. If you're still waiting for permission, that says a lot more about you than anything else. And that's not a compliment. So learn Bitcoin, master the skills, and you'll see that the power has always been within your reach. You just needed to step out of that cage and grab onto it. So what do you want me to tell you, man? I mean, this $300 exemption, that's an insult. You know, like, if I was an American and after all of this hopium and marketing and hoopla, and they come out and say, well, look, guys, for $300 or less, you're tax-free. That's an insult. Like, that would piss me off after all of this. So how would you accept that? That to me is more proof that this entire system must be completely replaced and ignored entirely. You cannot wait around for these people to make the change that you want. You have to go after it. You have to make it happen. That is what the 4th of July really represents.
Yeah, Tony, so I think we agree on most of that. The one caveat I would make is that while no politicians who have access to a money printer will opt for Bitcoin as currency, the politicians who may are those who are enslaved to the money printer. That's why, for example, El Salvador, and you have your opinions about Nayib Bukele, but they operate on a dollar standard. But he doesn't have access to the money printer. He is, you know, whatever the U.S. does, like, that's going to impact him directly, and there's nothing he can do about it. And so someone like that, to me, it makes more logical sense why he would say, hey, let's try to break free of that, because that would benefit me personally as well as the people of El Salvador. I think, in my understanding, Tony, Panama operates on a dollar standard. They have a local currency, but it's pegged to the dollar. Same thing. Like, they're in the same boat. I anticipate we're going to see a lot more progress with these smaller nations who are beholden to the dollar system, but have no direct control over how it plays out, how it manifests in the world. So I'm hopeful that some politicians around the world, not U.S. politicians, not European politicians, are going to begin making the right decision out of necessity, because it's their only way to opt out of the enslavement. So that's my take. If anyone else has any comment on that. Otherwise, we've got a really interesting one here, because we were talking about Peter Thiel. So Peter Thiel and Palmer Luckey. So Greer, you got to explain who he is, because I wasn't familiar with the name. They're funding and launching a new crypto bank, according to the Financial Times. Pete Rizzo is a little excited here, saying that it's going mainstream. It's coming. I mean, I guess anything is good news for Bitcoin. This is not probably a product I anticipate using. Greer, tell me who Palmer is and what your take is on this bank launch.
Yeah, I learned about Palmer Luckey recently, and he's definitely an impressive person. You know, he does defense systems, drone-related defense, just absolutely brilliant, billionaire. And I think him teaming up with Peter Thiel is writing on the wall. The government is looking for control. They're looking to continue their power. And I think with Palantir, you get the surveillance state. You know, with Palmer Luckey, you get all the technology you want from a weapons perspective. And I think with a digital currency or a crypto that they create, you know, you're going to combine all of the enforcement and the surveillance that someone would want to have control over people. So For me, this is the antithesis of what we're doing. You know, what we're doing with Bitcoin is freedom. It's permissionless. It's unconfiscatable. It is completely, you can't stop it. And, you know, if you want to spend your Bitcoin to purchase something from someone, no one can say no to you. I think that we're going to just continue to see the money move into these very heavy-handed technological improvements that are marketed to be for our benefit. It's for safety. It's for convenience, but it's really the opposite. It's a digital prison. And, you know, the Fed might not be introducing a CBDC, but other parties will be, you know, with Tether, look at it. It's already here. So I think, again, the window is closing. There's a small opportunity, and you need to take it. You need to be able to secure some of your wealth in Bitcoin and avoid what is what's being introduced.
Yeah, I imagine a bank like this wouldn't even need to KYC you, because as soon as they're dropping like spyware on your machine or something, they know exactly who you are, what color underwear you're wearing before you even become a client. Tony, the cybersecurity man, what do you think?
Well, the writing's on the wall, man. They are waging war against everyone. This is a declaration of war. They're clamping down and, you know, aiming to lock everyone into a digital monetary prison. There's no other way to explain this. And if you get stuck in this, well, you know, good luck to you, because it's going to be extremely hard to break free at that point. Bitcoin will always exist. Those that have understood it and adopted it in a while back, you know, will be fine, because they don't need to use that other system, and they'll just vote with their time and feet and leave. But for everybody else that's caught in the in that chaos, well, you know, I don't know what that's going to translate into, but if it gets bad enough, you know, that these things usually turn into violent situations because people don't want them and they're going to do whatever it takes to break free. So it's an ugly movie. So again, like Greer, like you said, the window of time is, you know, like very, very, very tiny. So if you're still lingering on zero, wondering what to do, well, you know, you better move and fast.
Yeah. Get off zero. All righty. We've got, Tony, I'm going to turn this one back to you. 67% of EU governmental institutions scored a D or F for cybersecurity experts. This article at cybernews.com goes into more detail. I think the big takeaway for me, at least, is the fact that these are the same people who want to issue a CBDC, and you think that it's going to be safe, private, secure. It's hell, it's going to work. I mean, any of those things. Tony, as someone you know, who spends a bit of time in Europe, what do you think?
Well, again, no surprise. I mean, these are all services to benefit the people, right? And the people are, you know, the last thing on the priority list when it comes to these parasites because they can't extract from it. So it's like, why spend money there? Let's spend money on other areas that, you know, can benefit us more directly. So if the system collapses, who cares? You know, it's not us, it's them. I've known this like my whole life. I always found this very astonishing when I used to travel around looking at upgrading systems in, you know, government-controlled institutions. Like, for example, a hospital. Do you know that they have one of the worst IT systems in the world in hospitals where, you know, people go in for medical treatment, some of them, you know, on emergency life support, and they're run by systems that can be hacked by any clown because there's practically zero security there, or they're run by machines that are like 15, 16, 17 year old, they're like turning yellow when you look at them physically because no one's like maintained them. That's government work for you. When it's not in their direct interest, it's just not on the radar. It's not important. So am I surprised by this? No. But will they put more attention to a CBDC? Or you can bet your ass they will. Why? Because that's direct theft. Now they're in full control. So that needs to be prioritized. But for something that benefits you, the people, who cares about you? That can wait forever.
Yeah, I would go out on a limb here and say that I bet there are a lot of EU government entities operating with mainframes, systems built on COBOL, like just incredible. Like it would probably blow anyone's, if you're like a technologist at all, it would probably blow your mind. And I say that, Tony, because like I've got some experience working like with, you know, selling privacy solutions into Fortune 500 companies. And some of the systems that they're a hell of a lot more innovative than any government. And some of the systems they're operating on, it's crazy. Like I don't think this is a point of counterparty risk that most people don't understand because most of the time it works, right? Most of the time, if you need to withdraw money from your bank, you can withdraw money from your bank or whatever, at least in most of the West. You don't understand just how fragile these systems really are. And to imagine that these quote unquote experts who are, you know, tasked with securing these things know what they're doing. Well, know what they're doing maybe, but have the resources and access to the tools necessary to actually execute and protect your information, protect the sustainability of these systems. I mean, it's a pipe dream. Like there's so much brokenness out there. So that's maybe one of my takeaways and something worth sharing with people. Greer, I don't know if you have much of a comment. I'm sure you're not surprised, but anything you'd add to that?
No, I just think the government's a bully. You know, they are going to do whatever they can to make your life miserable. And so it's up to you, you know, whether it's your money or cybersecurity, like we're talking about. I mean, they're not working in your best interest. And it's best to just stop playing the game.
Yeah, well said. All righty, last one for you. Tony, this was your tweet. So today we're recording here on the July 4th, Independence Day. I'm going to say that and I'm going to start instilling that. I've been saying the 4th of July because that's what everyone says for a long time. Eric Voorhees made a good point. The point is Independence Day. We don't call it the 25th of December. We call it Christmas. It is a day of independence. And Tony, you tweeted, this is this 4th of July, freedom isn't just about flags and fireworks. It's about ownership, sovereignty, and saying no control, no to theft, no to fiat lies. America was built on rebellion. Bitcoin is how we finish the job. I think that is an incredible tweet, a very important point to make. I'm going to just add my comment first, and I want to hear from you guys, your thoughts on the 4th, on Independence Day. I've got my American flag flying in the background, and that is not because of the country that we exist and live in today. It is because of the ideals of the people who were willing to put their lives on the line 249 years ago to say no to tyranny. And the amount of tyranny that they suffered under was far less, relatively speaking, in many ways, to what we face today. And we've been lulled into this place of complacency. And I think it's time for people to begin waking up. One material thing you can do today, if you are watching this, is go buy some Bitcoin, opt out of the fiat nonsense, opt out of the thing that controls all of these levers that enable cultural rot, that enable tyranny. And I think the world will be a much better place for it. So I'll get off my soapbox. Tony, I'll let you finish this one. Greer, you take it because I think Tony needs to end with a comment on his tweet.
Yeah, no, I mean, what you said, I echo completely. You know, back then we were fighting King George and today it's King Dollar, you know, and the only way to get victory is to remove your energy and your time from that system.
Yeah, well said. Tony, any
absolutely,
final comment?
Guys. I mean, this is a celebration about, you know, regaining control over your dignity, your agency, and your freedom. It should be about nothing else. Put an end to the product that has brought you to the life of hell that you're, you know, witnessing right now. It's very easy. It's very peaceful. No one needs to get hurt. You just have to upgrade from one system to the next. It's available for anyone. Learn the skills. They're not that hard. Anyone can do it. Opt out of the system, build the future, celebrate, like have a real reason to celebrate, and win-win for everyone.
Well said. Greer, thanks again for joining, man. Really appreciate it. Give people a handoff. Tell them where they can find you, where they can find your awesome Bird Flip apparel.
Yeah, sure. Thanks, man. So yeah, I'm Bird Flip on X, and you can visit shopbirdflip.com to get low OPSEC, you know, secret Bitcoin gear.
I love it. We need to get Tony one of those hoodies. Tony, if there's anyone in the entire world who needs to be wearing a hoodie with a bird flipping off
I'd
the world.
I'd love to do it, man. I'd love to do it. Let me get my hands on one of them and I'll be wearing it. No worries there.
Awesome. Right, you got I love it. Everyone else, thanks for tuning in. Stick around, hear a little bit more about the Bitcoin way. Until next time, guys, great chatting as always.
Thanks, guys.
Talk soon.
Hey there, thank you for tuning into Bitcoin Banter. Wanted to take a quick minute to remind you to head on over to thebitcoinway.com/podcast to schedule a free 30-minute consultation with a member of our team. It is critical that you take full control of your wealth and we can equip you with the skills needed to take 100% self-custody of your Bitcoin. For our existing clients, we also offer our Bitcoin Bootcamp, where we will conduct quarterly calls with you to reinforce the training we've provided and fill any gaps in your knowledge. While you're at it, ask about our solo mining service, something we think everybody should be doing. We also help with addressing your personal and online cybersecurity, and we can even help you set up a privacy phone free of big tech and Big Brother surveillance. Don't underestimate the amount of tracking taking place in your browser and in the apps you use every day. And finally, whether you're ready to make a move to a freedom-loving paradise or want a backup in the event of a worst-case scenario, be sure to ask about our Plan B residency program. Being untethered from a single location is one of the best ways to ensure your self-sovereignty into the future. Again, you can schedule a free consultation at thebitcoinway.com/podcast. If you are enjoying the show, please do me a favor, subscribe to our channel wherever you listen, give us a 5-star review, and drop us a comment. We would really appreciate it, and it makes it easier for others to begin finding us as we preach the gospel of financial self-sovereignty and beyond. Thank you again for listening. Until next time, stay safe. Stay sovereign, and remember, the yield on Bitcoin is freedom.